Now there were those who said I'd surely fall when I told them I'd given Jesus my all. And I guess I really can't blame them for having their doubts. For they only knew what I used to be. But oh, what a difference the Lord made in me. What I got was real, and praise God I'm still serving Him now. Forever changed, I'm forever changed. Changed the heart of me. He changed my eternal destiny.
All things passed away. Thank God for the day I'm forever changed.
Now if this life was all that He promised to me, friend, I'd still choose to serve my Lord faithfully. But I cannot begin to imagine what He has in store. For once I was lost and I was headed for hell, but then I got saved and now all is well. My forever began when I took the precious hand of Jesus my Lord. Forever changed, I'm forever changed.
All things are brand new, I tell you it's true. I'm not the same.
He changed the heart.
Lord, we just take a moment to say that we're thankful for what You did upon the cross. Amen. Lord, while You was on the cross, we were on Your mind. We're thankful that You fulfilled Your Father's plan and opened up a new and living way, the only way to heaven. And Lord, for anybody who calls upon Your name and asks You to come in, they all are forever changed. Destiny is changed. No longer go into a devil's hell, but a Savior's heaven. Lord, we have freedom from that change, freedom from the power of sin. Although we still battle the flesh, but we can have victory in our daily lives because of the freedom this changed takes place and happens. And Father, we're just a thankful people this morning because of everything you've done. And Lord, this morning we have a full prayer list, and we do pray for each and every individual. Time would not permit me to mention everyone, but Lord, we do pray a big, loving blanket prayer over our prayer list this morning, that you would be with each and every person, every life, every situation, and meet with us in a mighty way today, and we'll praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I want to welcome everyone this morning to Calvary Baptist Church and say it's a joy and it's an honor and it's a privilege to see you this morning. I wonder how many first-time visitors do we have. If there's any first-time visitors, would you? Okay, we have a couple down here on the front row, and we have a first-time visitor's card coming to you. If you would just fill that out and place that in the offering plate as the offering comes around, then we'll appreciate that, keep a record of your visit. But again, it's good to be here this morning, and woke up this morning and seen something falling from the sky, and began to wonder what was going on. But we praise the Lord for the good rain, and he has sent our way showers of blessings is what that is this morning, and we appreciate that. Again, we have a lengthy prayer list. I do want to say this, this past week, longtime member Miss Sandy Black went home to be with the Lord, and her funeral services were Friday over at Georgia Memorial, and received word last night that Larry Teague's brother had passed. And so remember Brother Larry and Connie and the family during this time. I do encourage you to pick up a bulletin on your way out this morning, and stay in tune with all the things that's going on. We will be having a fall festival the last Saturday of the month at 5 p.m. And a lot of good things will be taking place during that time. So we encourage you to come on out and fellowship with us there. And I think more about that will be said in just a moment. And but also ordination service the last Sunday night of the month, and be ordaining Brother Jeff Hodges, and looking forward to that. That is a tremendous blessing. It's a joy for the church to do that, and just means that God is continuing to work here, and we appreciate that. And again, it's good to have our visitors with us this morning, and it's good to see everybody. You know, we spent our time this morning getting ready, meeting deadlines as far as the clock to get here and all. We're here. Let's just worship the Lord this morning. In fact, we have the sign behind us says created to worship. And we all are created to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. And when we do that, when we focus on him and what he might have to say through music, through the message this morning, I guarantee you, you'll have a little more direction in your life by the time you leave. And so let's do that this morning. Just worship the Lord. Brother Allen.
Choir, would you stand with me? Church, would you stand with me this morning? Have you ever thought about that? I was created. My purpose, Brother Don, is to worship him. I was saved as a young man, 15 years old. I accepted Christ as my Savior. A few moments ago, Brother David sang a song about that. I have been changed, forever changed. But he has left me here since that time to this time for a purpose, and that is to worship him and to praise him. And I wonder if that's the reason that we truly came here this morning. Some have come here this morning because you have a need, a desire, and God is able to grant those. But outside of that, we are here, Pastor, to worship him, the very creator of our soul. And for a few moments, just forget about the world. Forget about this afternoon. Forget about the dogs. Forget about the Braves. Forget about the world. And for a few moments, let's just think about the lover of our soul and worship Him. Jesus, there is something about that name. It is what changes everything. No matter what you're going through this morning, you can call on the precious name of Jesus. Have you ever thought about that? This morning, the Lord reminded me that if I am clean before Him, Brother Harold, I can enter into the very throne room of grace. Wow. What a thought. Could we sing that chorus a couple of times this morning that says, Jesus, Jesus, there is something about that name. I don't want you to even think about your neighbor even being there. Maybe you might just want to close your eyes for a moment and just you and the Lord have a little bit of time, and let's just take a little bit of time and just worship Him. Jesus, Jesus, there's something about that name.
Jesus, Jesus, oh Jesus, there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, oh Jesus, yes Jesus, let all heaven and earth something about that name.
All right, you've got it now. Sing it together again.
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name. He's the Master, He's Savior, oh Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, Jesus, oh Jesus, let all heaven and earth proclaim. Kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that. Yes, there's something about that name.
Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Choir, you can be seated. So good to see you in the house of the Lord. We are very thankful this morning for our visitors. Amen, church. Amen. Praise the Lord. And it's a very exciting day here. Every day should be an exciting day to be able to come into the house of God to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. We have a lot of things going on. And Amanda has an announcement this morning concerning our fall festival.
We have a sign-up sheet over to the side if you want to sign up to bring a chili or a soup or something like that. Larry's going to provide the hot dogs for everybody. you'd like to give a donation to go towards the prizes and just the kind of the candy and the prizes and some of the games, you can bring it to me or Miss Lynn. Miss Lynn's not here today, but if you would like, if you haven't already given and you'd like to help that way instead of bringing candy, you can do that. All right. Thank you. If Melita bakes the cake, the fall festival will be well attended.
Amen. And it'll be a very exciting time. Please don't forget about that. That is on the 26th, is that correct?
5 o'clock.
5 o'clock that Saturday evening. And please come. Enjoy that time. Bring people with you. Invite folks to come. We're hoping that that'll be a time when people will drive by and realize we've got some things going on at Calvary. Amen. It'll be a great time. We look forward to that. And it'll be some great food, fellowship, and a lot of fun. We look forward to that. Also, please don't forget that next Sunday evening, not tonight, but next Sunday evening will be the Brotherhood and the Sisterhood, better known as the CLU. Amen. It'll be a great time. We're looking forward to it. Brother Joe said to please announce, Brother Joe and Miss Lynn are not here today, but we have a special guest speaker, and he just happens to be down front. Jamie, raise your hand. That's our guest speaker for next week, and we're looking forward to hearing him. Next Sunday, please be here at 4 o'clock for Brotherhood and COU. It's always a very good time. Ladies, young, and those that are older than young, won't say. I know better. I'm careful. All right. Ladies, young, and all ages, gentlemen the same, please come be a part of the Brotherhood and the COU. It'll be a great time. We look forward to hearing Brother Jamie. Please lift him up in prayer over this next coming week. We look forward to what God has in store for us here at Calvary. Please, if you've been praying about becoming a member of the choir, today would be a great day for that. 5 o'clock, choir practice. We'd love to have you. And we look forward to what the Lord has for us today. Please pray for Pastor. And please remember all those in prayer that have we have prayer requests, and many of them today. So let's lift all those in prayer. Let's go now to him in a word of prayer and ask him to be with us today. Father, we love you and we praise you and thank you for the opportunity that we have to be in your house. Lord, thank you for the shower of rain, Lord, that you've sent our way. You always know exactly what we need. Now, Lord, we ask you for a shower of blessing, Lord, in your house today. Fill this place, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. And, Lord, we've already sensed your presence here. Lord, I pray that you just continue to have your hand upon us. And, Lord, again, just fill this place, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Touch our pastor. Speak through him, Lord, the word, Lord, that we need to hear today. May our hearts and our minds be open, Lord, to receive your word. Touch the offering now, Lord, both the gift and the giver. You know what is needed. Lord, you've heard the announcements, Lord, the excitement of things that are going on here at Calvary. And, Lord, that excites our hearts. And, Lord, I pray that you would just continue to have your hand upon this church. Lord, be with those that might have a special need today. And, Lord, I pray that you would touch that. Lord, you're the one that's able. And, Lord, you are one, Lord, that can touch and heal as well. And pray that you would do that. Lord, again, just, again, give us a great day here. Be at the choir in a few moments as we sing, the musicians as they play. But again, Lord, touch the word of God. Speak to us today, and we'll praise you and thank you for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. When I first began to walk with the Lord, I did not really trust Him. How He longed for me to understand that I could. So through the valleys He led me, afraid as I could be, till I felt His loving arms embracing me. Why would I ever doubt a God whose hands hold the universe? Why would I ever question His abilities? There's no place that I can go where He does not know the things that trouble me. He's always aware of where I am and what I need. I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me. He's come through too many times that puts my mind at ease for good. And I'll stake my very life that He's gonna take care of me. 'Cause I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me. Oh, I believe Him now. After all these years, He's been so faithful. He's proven to be true. Oh, nevermore will I doubt or question why. 'Cause I've seen Him work before, and I know what God can do. I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me. He's come through too many times that puts my mind at ease for good. And I'll stake my very life that He's gonna take care of me. 'Cause I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me. He's all I need. He's all I need. Jesus is all I need. He's all 'cause I've been through enough to know that He'll be enough for me.
Well, everyone knows, if you don't, you're about to, that October is Pastor Appreciation Month. So we as the church would like to show a little bit of appreciation for our pastor and those that do a lot of stuff that goes unseen. I mean, you see them up here, you see them teaching, but there's a lot of stuff that they do that a lot of people don't see. They're always praying. I know this to be true. And they're going out to the hospitals, they're going to the homes of our members, and all we do is expect them to stand up here and preach to us and go on. But they deserve a lot more than just us taking from them. We need to give back to them. We need to support our pastors and our preachers. Alan's a preacher, and we need to give more than just our prayers. Our prayers are good, but I think we need to give more than that. So, Brother Justin, Brother Brian, would you come down, please? A little something from the church. If y'all don't know, which you should know, Brother Brian is our youth minister, youth pastor. And we depend on him a lot.
Yes, sir.
And you don't see him a lot, but he's always here.
Appreciate that gesture, and I know Brother Brian would say the same thing what I'm about to say, but it is an absolute joy and an honor and privilege to do so, is to serve you. Let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the New Testament book of Colossians. Colossians, chapter number 3. And we're doing good this morning. Colossians chapter number 3, and as Brother Harold said, verse 17. And we'll be looking at some things this morning out of this chapter, out of this book. Very practical in nature. But also, these things will be a challenge. And I want to say that any time that a challenging message is given from the pulpit, I was first challenged. And so the message this morning is going to be dealing with some challenges that are beneficial to all of us. But let's bow for a word of prayer, and then I want to read one verse, verse number 17. Father, we come in Jesus' name one more time, Lord, before we began to take your church down a certain path. I pray that the words that will be said will be straight from you, and let there be nothing said, Lord, that is self-willed or not from you. Our desire is to encourage and fulfill, Lord, the ministry of preaching in all of its different types of preaching, encouragement, challenge. And Lord, I pray by the time that we leave this morning, that we all could say that it was good to be here. We love you. We thank you. We praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Book of Colossians this morning, chapter number 3. And notice, if you would, in verse number 17. Colossians 3, in verse number 17. And whatsoever ye do, word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. That's going to be our starting point this morning, verse number 17. I want to call your attention to a couple of phrases out of this verse. Number one, he says, and whatsoever ye do. Then notice this next phrase, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Two phrases in this verse. Whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Where he says, whatsoever ye do, is referring to, but not limited to, the responsibilities that's mentioned in this chapter. Let me just say that this chapter deals with several responsibilities. Number one, deals with our own walk with the Lord. Number two, deals with relationships with each other as brothers and sisters in Christ. It deals with our own household relationships, husband and wife, parentally as a parent. It also deals with civil issues as a worker. And so whatsoever ye do, again, it's referring to all of these responsibilities, but not limited to only these responsibilities. It's because he says, whatsoever ye do. But then he says, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Number one, I believe that could be a twofold implication here. Number one, it means by his power or by his grace, in the name of Jesus, whatsoever you do. Do it in his name, by his grace. But also, I believe it can mean for his honor, for his glory. And so he says, and whatsoever ye do, in all of the responsibilities of life, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, in his power, in the name of the Lord, for his glory, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. I want to take that thought this morning, what we've looked at so far in verse number 17, and I want to preach a few moments on this subject, by his grace and for his glory. By his grace and for his glory. He says, and whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. That statement ought to be the driving force behind all that we say or do in this life. That statement. Whatsoever we do, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. In other words, that statement, by his grace, for his glory, ought to be our driving force. When we wake up in the morning and we go to work, we go to school, we assume our responsibilities, we're to do so by his grace, in the name of the Lord Jesus. But also, every day that we arise and we assume our responsibilities, we're to do those things for his glory, bringing honor to him in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We do what we do in life by the grace of God and for the grace of God. And this morning, I want to mention some things in this chapter. I mentioned there's some responsibilities. There's some areas that we're obligated to be present in. There's some responsibilities that we deal with in life. And I want to just mention a few of those this morning. A few areas I want to deal with concerning this topic, by His grace and for His glory. In these areas, it's going to have to be by His grace to do these things. And it's going to have to be for His glory in order to successfully do these things. I know that I'm not the only one this morning that would say that leaning on the arm of the flesh will fail you every time. Whether it's your own individual walk with Jesus, whether it's assuming your role as a spouse or a parent, if we lean on the arm of the flesh, it'll fail us every time. But if our driving force is by the grace of God, for the glory of God, we can fulfill our roles. And so number one, I want you to notice in verse 1, by His grace and for His glory, we follow Jesus. Verse number 1, notice what he says of chapter 3. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Then he says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with Him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. I want to stop there in verse number 7. Number 1, by His grace, He says, whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So by His grace and for His glory, we follow Jesus. Now, look if you would for a moment in verse number 2. He says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. We follow Jesus by controlling our affections. This morning, if you tell me what your affections are, I'll tell you where your walk with God is. Now, the word affections here is also the same word for interest. For interest, affections, interest. So he says in verse 2, set your interest on things above, not on things on the earth. Set your affection on things above and not on the earth. And so we follow Jesus this morning by His grace and for His glory by controlling our affections or interests. If you're here this morning and you are saved by the grace of God, you have a responsibility to set your affections on heavenly things. And listen, we're living in the house of this flesh, our bodies. We're living on earth and we have challenges. And there's the world, the pull of the world. There's the devil. There's our flesh. But if we profess His name, we have a responsibility to follow Him. And our following Jesus hinges upon the affections we have. What's your affections this morning? Now, I'm not saying that we can't watch the Bulldogs or watch the Braves lose. Hey, I love the Braves. And I still love the Braves, but you know, it is what it is. Not saying that you can't go and have fun and go fishing and not, you know, have fellowship with your friends, you know, at the bowling alley. Not saying none of those things. But what is your soul affection this morning? What is your soul desire? Is it to get rich and live a life of ease? If that's your main affection, number one, you may not have a walk with God. And number two, if you do know Him personally, then that can be your problem in your walk with God, is because your affections are out of alignment. He tells us this morning, verse number one, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Look at the word set here in verse 2. The word set is the same word for exercise. So this puts us all on the same playing field. Because this morning as we go after God and we try to follow Him because we desire to, it is a sure enough exercise. We don't always nail it, do we? I know that I don't always nail being a child of God. There's things that I wish I could take back, and there's courses I wish that I had another run at, but things are done. And the thing about it is that I choose to now. Can't worry about the past, but now. From this day forward, I could exercise setting my affections on heaven and setting my affections on Jesus and not on things on the earth. When I set my affections on things of the earth, they're temporary. They have their fulfillment and they pass on through. When you set your affections on things on the earth for fulfillment, they're temporary. They pass on through. Many people in our day have set their affections on drugs. And then they pass on through. And then you're unfulfilled. Alcohol, we said it the other Sunday. All of these things and many more carnal things, they pass through. They're only temporary. And so when you set your affection, you daily desire to exercise your affections and delights in Jesus, you're on the right path. Now, sometimes it doesn't immediately bear fruit of great accomplishment. And what I mean by that is we're all on different levels as to what our testimonies are, what our backgrounds are, what we've been exposed to in life. Sometimes it takes longer for some to get it and mature to the next level. And so we're all on different levels spiritually, but it's the same principles. If we set our affection on things above, it works as a filter. We read God's Word and we come to church and we do our best to yield to Him and hit His target of holiness. It works as a filter in our life. When you enter in your prayer closet, when you pray, period, you make any step toward God in prayer and His Word, I guarantee you, if you do that wholeheartedly and intentionally, in no time, you'll find some of them worldly affections being filtered through. You'll find yourself coming out of your prayer time because you really meant it and you need God and you want His best for your life and your family's life. You'll find yourself with a shift in desire. You may have went in to that prayer closet, that study time, that time with God, defeated and worried and fearful. But if you really are going after God and want His best, by the time you get out of that prayer closet, the filtration system has already taken effect. There's some things that have been left there. And listen, God has a way of melting our fears when we get close to Him. God has a way of showing us who we are in the mirror of His Word when we get close to Him. Talking about this exercise. It's a spiritual exercise. Set your affection on things above. And we're all in this together. I know that. And listen, let me just say this. God knows who's saved in this building and who's not saved. And so I'm not going to preach to everybody like everybody's saved. But what I will say is, if you are saved, and there's been a time and a place in your life that you realize you are a sinner separated from God, and you are on your way to hell, unless you ask Jesus to come in and be that payment for your sin, unless that has happened this morning, this doesn't apply to you the same way it does a saved person. I don't want to get too far chasing this rabbit here. That's why I have notes, so I can get back to where I need to be. A saved person has a desire to set affection. Someone who doesn't know Jesus doesn't. So they try to turn over a new leaf. They try to change their habits, and it doesn't happen. And so that's what I'm talking about, the saved person. So this morning, by His grace and for His glory, we follow Jesus. Look in verse number 5. Now, we follow Jesus by controlling our affections. This is a spiritual exercise. And the spiritual exercise is done only by one way. Look at verse number 5. He says, mortify. Mortify, therefore, your members, not family members, not church members. Mortify, therefore, your members, your limbs. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And he names all these things. You see, this spiritual exercise isn't a pleasant one because death is involved. And the word members here is reference to limbs. And you know in the Bible where it says, if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off. If thy eye offend thee, pluck it out. Now don't go cut your hand and arm off and pluck out your eye. Brother David Henderson been over at the house doing a little bit of work for us, and he left his saw, and I was kidding with Christy last night. I said, well, today my arm offended me. I'm going to go here and saw it off. She said, please don't do that. I said, that's okay, honey. I'm just going through my sermon in my head. If thy hand offend thee, if you find yourself and listen, you're in bondage and you're going to a certain besetting sin in your life, there's something that is not healthy for you that you're doing. The Bible says get rid of it. And your eye, in other words, don't necessarily physically pluck it out, but if the internet bothers you, get rid of it. Listen, if Facebook bothers you, get rid of it. We're talking about fortifying ourselves. We're talking about positioning ourselves so we can follow Jesus by His grace and for His glory. He tells us to mortify. The word mortify means to deaden or put to death. And so when we choose to follow Him, there comes a point in time in our life, an intersection where we must exercise. And listen, sometimes, back when I used to go to Planet Fitness 3 or 4 times a week, I used to cling to one exercise. I'd go in one day and do chest, and then go in another day and do legs. And of course, I think I cut out legs altogether, man. Got to have my legs. But I did that same routine forever. And you know what happened? I eventually plateaued and wasn't getting nowhere. And so there had to be a change of routine. There had to be a change of exercise. And he tells us here to mortify, put to death, is what he's saying here in verse number 5. Your members which are upon the earth. Again, talking about spiritual exercise, it requires death, means to deaden, to put to death. Sometimes it takes a little cross training spiritually. Sometimes it takes a little investigating in other areas of our life. Lord, is this what you want for my life? Now, Paul does say, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are expedient for me. In other words, Paul said, I'm not under the law anymore of condemnation. I don't have to live up to the law of his letter because of Jesus in me. And Paul also said, that doesn't give me a right to sin. That's not a green card to sin. But I believe what Paul is getting at is there are some things that will set us back that aren't necessarily the on stage in front of your face. Not murder, not adultery. But there may be some things this morning in our life that are little things but can create big problems. In the book of Song of Solomon, he talks about the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vine. And listen, there are little things. We keep our minds and our focus, our attention on big things. Well, we're not cheating on our wife, and we're not, you know, committing murder. We're not robbing banks. Listen, what about the little things that we look at and say, oh, watching everything I want to on TV is not bad. Oh, this relationship's not bad because I do work with this person and it's just a casual chat every day on the way in, on the way out. But there may be something in that relationship at work. There may be, and I know there is, stuff on TV that through a on-the-surface look might look okay. But not necessarily. Not necessarily. All this has to do with spiritual exercising and getting into our alone time with God and allowing Him to filter through our life what needs to go and what can stay. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth. And he mentions several things. Again, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil consumptuance, and covetousness, which is idolatry. All these things. So this morning, I want to encourage as well as challenge and say, by His grace and for His glory, we can walk with Jesus this morning. We can arise in the morning and listen, not forgetting about yesterday and the cares of yesterday. And as long as they're confessed up to date and we've casted our cares on Him, we can rise up and by His grace and for His glory, take another shot at it each and every single day. Again, verse 17, whatsoever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. So this morning, there's the area of following Jesus by His grace and for His glory. Look down in verse number 12. There's a second thing I want to mention. Not only following Jesus, but fellowshipping with man by His grace and for His glory. Look at verse number 12. The Bible says, put on therefore as the elect of God. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, and he mentions some things. And he's talking about the church household. He's talking about the body of Christ as the elect of God. As a child of God, I am to put on some things. He says, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved. Number one, in verse number 12, there's some things inwardly by His grace and for His glory we can do in order to fellowship with man. Our brothers and sisters in Christ, he says, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. Stay with me. Listen to this. The word bowels here is through the idea of how the spleen operates in your body. I was blown away. The spleen is a part of your body that helps fight off bacteria and it detoxifies chemicals in your body. The spleen helps fight off bacteria. And so he says that we're to put on bowels of mercy. There is something about mercy that accomplishes and helps everything in the house of God. It's something about being merciful. The Bible says, blessed are the merciful. And here he says, when it comes to fellowshipping with man, we can do that by the grace of God, for the glory of God. He says, put on therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. Listen, I'm so glad that we're a merciful church. Me and Brother David, again, we spent a lot of time yesterday together and just talking about the comments that we get from visitors of this church. So loving and caring. Hey, listen, that's Jesus being seen with us, folks. That's Jesus being present, working through you and working through me. But at the end of the day, there is still a relationship between all of us. And as our individual families that there are things that need to be exercised for it to function properly, even so in the house of God. He says, bowels of mercy, the same way that a spleen operates to bite off bacteria, is the same way that merciful people operate. Have you ever met somebody that's very merciful? And listen, when I say very merciful, I'm not talking about someone who condones things. You know, there is a drawback. This is how what I'm saying personally. There is a drawback if you're not careful to being merciful, because you can be tolerant. You can be so merciful that you're tolerant of some things that should not be tolerated. But when there's the right given opportunity to be merciful, and it's within your power and my power to do it, we are to be merciful, because it is mercy that covers a multitude of sins. Listen, mercy and love does it every time. And the only drawback, for example, there may be a friend of yours or a friend of mine that's struggling in an area. And you may want to encourage them. And the person who has the gift of mercy also has the gift of encouragement. And one of the drawbacks is you can be so light and gentle in the matter. Now, listen. Oh, brother, oh, sister, listen. You know, give it to God. Ask God to forgive you. Get up and go again. I understand. Listen, I know I have my past, and you know you have what you're dealing with, and times are hard. And if we're not careful, we can do more harm than good with extending mercy. Listen, mercy has to be monitored. And within that gift and within that the word mercy itself, it is and is linked to forgiveness, being merciful. But we need to control that. But at the right time, when mercy is extended, can do a great deal for someone. And so he says bowels of mercy. He says kindness. Then he says humbleness of mind, talking about humbleness of one's mind, their own mind, not to think of themselves no more highly than they ought to think. And then the word meekness. Meekness is power under control. We talked about not long ago spiritual blinders and how a horse has his blinders. In a race, he has to have blinders. He carrying a buggy, he has to have blinders. The horse does, because it's easily distracted with things here and there. But then there's the strap where you pull in the reins. You see, a Mustang horse, a stallion, whatever, those things are powerful. Those things can run, and they can run you over. They've caused deaths before because of their power. But a horse or a stallion under control can be an awesome thing. A horse, a stallion, a Mustang under control can be transportation for you. A horse, a stallion, a Mustang under control, you can ride as a hobby, enjoy God's nature. But if you don't pull them reins back, that thing, the Long Ranger, buddy, gone. Damage and hurt. And listen, when it comes to the body of Christ, we have to be meek. We may have power to do certain things, but it needs to be under control as a horse and its reins are brought in. And listen, we can do these things by His grace and for His glory. Then, of course, long-suffering is patience. And so these are the things in verse number 12 that have to do with the inside of fellowshipping with man. The bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. These are inward things. But in verse number 13, here are the outward things, or a reflection of the inward things. In verse number 13, he says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Outward things. Verse number 13, the word forbearing, it's a family word. It's a family word at home. It's a family word at church. The word forbearing simply means to put up with. You know as well as I do, there are times where, because of who we are, we're a family, there are times where you just have to simply put up with one another. Forbearing one another. But listen, the very fact that someone forbears is the very indication of love. Because if someone loves you, they will be patient with you. Someone that loves you, they will forbear. And you may not be the, 100% jiving with their spirit or whatnot, but because of the family of God and because of who you are, because of love being their motive, they will forbear and put up with. Sometimes in the house of God, we have to put up with one another. But I'm glad there's not a lot of that around here. Listen, I mean, there has to be some kind of chemistry between the people of God for it to operate, and there is. And then he says, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. We're talking about fellowship with man. And it has to do with the inside, getting things right. And when things are right on the inside, verse 12, verse number 13, there will be forbearance. There will be forgiving and forgiveness. And the rest of that follows. Now, I want to mention a third thing, I think. In verse number 18, we'll at least get it started. Not only by His grace and for His glory we follow Jesus. By His grace and for His glory we fellowship with man. But by His grace and for His glory we fulfill our roles. Look at verse number 18. The Bible says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them." Verse number 20 talks about children. Verse number 21, fathers. Verse number 22, servants. Let me just touch on this, and we may dive in a little deeper tonight with it. But we're to fulfill our roles maritally, by the grace of God and for the glory of God. We can be the spouse that God wants us to be. Now, he says, wives, in verse number 18, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Some people take this and say that their wives are to walk 5 foot in their shadow. Not so. Not so. You see, because when it comes to the building of the home, back in the book of Genesis, when God ordained the home, number one, he had a picture of the home. In a picture of the home, or the picture of a marriage, should be not wife and husband, not him and her, but it should be one. Whenever you see a couple and you say, "Man, I can't tell them apart. They're one in purpose. They're one in love." I mean, listen, everywhere you go, they're about the same things. And many times you see them together. And even when they're separate and they're in different places, they still have the same motives. I was saying the other day, I said, "You know, my wife is not here right now. But I know what she would say right now." I know what she would say. You know what that is? That's knowing your spouse. That's being one with your spouse. And so I pulled the trigger on and made a decision on something. And she found out. She said, "Well, you know me." And listen, again, these are exercises. But it says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord." Maritally, the wives are to submit themselves unto their own husbands. Again, this gives a picture of oneness. There's positions in marriage. There's the wife role, and then there's the husband's role. And the wife's role is to be submissive to her husband. This is God's divine order. Also, you take notice of that. Not only that, this is God's divine order, but women came from the man. Woman came from the man, and it was from Adam's rib that she came from. Which says and shows a picture of the wife's role and man's role, that the wife is to be by her husband's side, not under his feet. And the wife is to be in submission to her husband. And there again, this gives a picture, because when the husband does his role, that wife will happily do her role. The submission will be easy. And I want to say this morning that sometimes in marriages, because the husband isn't doing his role, the wife, it's hard to get her to do her role. And vice versa. Sometimes the wife ain't doing her role biblically, and it's hard to get the husband to do his role. "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord." And this is for the Lord's sake. The wife is in submission to her own husband as unto the Lord. In fact, in the book of Ephesians, it talks about it. But we have wives to be in submission unto their husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Now, let me mention this, and we'll bring it to a close, and we're going to spend some time here tonight on this. But in verse number 19, it says, "Husbands, love your wives." and be not bitter against them. I was looking at the word husband last night, and it's been a while since I studied the three kinds of love in the Bible. Number one, there is the eros love. That has to do with an infatuation of a person. That is only skin deep. That is the eros kind of love. It's an intimate kind of love. Sexual kind of love. But then there's the phileo kind of love. And that is a love that you have for your pal or your buddy. You love the brethren. You love the sister. It is a phileo kind of love. But then there's the agape kind of love. And the agape kind of love is the love that comes from Almighty God. It's the kind of love that only somebody can love from if they know God. So he says, husbands, love your wife. The question is, how does God love us? Number one, he loves us unconditionally. And so husbands, we're to love our wives unconditionally. Doesn't matter what they do. Doesn't matter what they don't do. We have the calling to agape them and love them. Now, turn back, if you would, for a minute, to Ephesians chapter number 5. I have to say this. Verse number 25, Ephesians 5. Husbands, love your wives, agape love, God's love, unconditional love, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Unconditional, voluntarily gave himself for the church. Look down at verse number 28. So ought men to love their wives, this is going to hurt for some, as their own bodies. You mean to tell me, Brother Justin, I am to care for my wife as much as I care for myself? Oh, yeah. Every time you eat at lunchtime, you ought to be thinking about what your precious wife is eating. Every time you get up in the morning, you ought not just think about your long day, but you're to think about your wife's long day. Look down in verse number 29. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. The love of a husband ought to be an unconditional love. But yet the role of a wife is to be in submission. And sometimes there's an imbalance there. But because these are spiritual exercises, by His grace and for His glory, I want to say that we can be the spouse that God wants us to be. You can be the wife that God wants you to be. You can be the husband that God wants you to be. And it's all done and accomplished in His power, in His name, for His glory, and from His ability. Now, talking about fulfilling our roles by His grace for His glory. Talking about fellowshipping with man by His grace for His glory. Following Jesus by His grace for His glory. And if God permits tonight, we will run over and briefly mention the marital role, but then we'll move on to the parental role and then the civil role as well. He says there's a place for children in verse 20. There's a place for fathers in verse 21, parents. And then in verse 22, servants. I do not want to rush through those this morning, and so the Lord willing, we'll finish that tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank You. We love You for who You are, God, and for what You do. I'll just say that I'm glad that You're a merciful God. You're a God who provides great grace. And Father, You've put it into the heart of every believer to bring Yourself glory. And we do that by Your grace. We're so thankful that as we follow You, Lord, You're merciful and graceful. And Lord, as we fellowship with other believers, You're merciful and graceful. But even in our fulfillment of our roles, You're merciful, You're graceful. And Father, we pray that as a result of this service and a conclusion tonight, we will be a stronger person and a better servant of You. We love You and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet. The altar is open. If you need to come, you come and pray.